The book of Proverbs in chapter 6 this evening, reading from verse 16 through verse 19. The title of this section, Things God Hates. Beginning in verse 16, these six things doeth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. And heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Heavenly Father, we thank thee this evening again for the wonderful privilege to be able to come together. Lord, we pray tonight for thy blessings, thy anointing upon the reading of Holy Scripture. We pray again tonight, Lord, that you speak to our hearts. Help us to come to better understanding of thy word that we might be obedient. We ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Last week we were in verses 12 through 15. We titled that Without Remedy. This evening in verses 16 through 19, we see some things here, seven things that God hates. And we need to know what God loves, and we need to know what He hates so that we can love as God loves and so that we can hate as God hates. We find here in the verses that we've just read, the text speaks of seven sins that are an abomination to God, and He ends or brings to a conclusion with the sowing discord. I always want to say discourse, sowing discord among the brethren as the climax, which very possibly in our text may be the worst of all of these sins. We find that as we were looking last week at the wicked man, the naughty person, in verses 12 through 15, we find that he also was one that sowed discord in verse 14. And we find that he was without remedy. In other words, God would judge and punish. Now what we come to here this evening is that we find a new section, but not necessarily a new subject. We find here that we see the sins of looks and attitude, thoughts, speech, actions, and influence. There's several sins here that are mentioned that we need to take warning to. Now notice he says in verse 16, these six things doeth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. They are things that the Lord hates. You can write down chapter 8 and verse 13. We find that this is God's hate list of sin and also sinners. The Bible says in Psalms 7 verse 11, God is angry with the sinner every day, angry with the wicked. We do find that God, the Bible says that God loved Jacob and hated Esau. So there are things that the Lord hates. We also find that as we come here to this text, that he says in verse 6, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. There's many verses whereby we find the word abomination. It's probably been 10 to 15 years ago I have a sermon titled Abominations. And basically this word abomination means that which is vile, that which is despised or detestable, to make sick. In other words, these are things that makes God sick. Whatever is an object of extreme hatred in the Bible is an abomination. So that's something else we want to know. What is it that God calls an abomination? And what I have found in studying this, once something is declared as an abomination, it is always an abomination. God never changes his mind on that. Here are just a few things. Sodomy. Other sexual sins as well. Idolatry. sorcery, witchcraft, a false balance here in the book of Proverbs and other places, cross-dressing in Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 5. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, I'm not asking you to turn there, but there is a whole list of things that are an abomination as the children of Israel would go into the promised land. The Lord gave them warning. And this chapter is divided up into three sections. Verses 1 through verse 8 is the priests, the Levites' duty of standing and ministering to the people for the Lord. Then the latter part of this chapter, verses 15 through verse 22, we find a prophecy of Jesus Christ. It says in verse 15, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him you shall hear." This is Moses speaking. And it's a reference to Jesus Christ. But in the middle of all of this, as they would go into the land, he says from verses 9 through verse 14, he said, "When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his sons or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter, or with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doeth drive them out from before thee." He says in verse 13 and 14, "Thou shalt be perfect unto the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered, that is, not allowed thee to do so." So we find that the people of the promised land to the children of Israel, they were driven out, not just to give somebody else the land, but they were driven out because of their wickedness and their sin and their abominations. And so God gave Israel the land, and he says, don't you follow after them and learn their way, or you will be driven out also. And they were driven out. They were driven out in 586 BC by the Babylonian army. So he says here in our text in verse 16, "These six things doeth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him." So these things we're looking at tonight, many in our society would just take some of them very lightly, but it falls into the same category as idolatry, immorality, witchcraft, you know, sodomy, all of these sins. Now notice, let's begin with the first in verse 17. And I just wanted to keep all of these together. You could easily preach seven sermons out of this text. But notice he says in verse 17, he begins here with a proud look. A proud look. We got sermons on that. Got an article on pride. A proud look. Not just prideful, but a proud look. Exalted eyes. Eyes that look proud. Eyes that are not pure. Haughty eyes. In other words, eyes that look down upon others. And this is the first in the procession here of sins. He begins with the eyes and then the tongue and the heart and the hands and the feet. He begins here and just goes down. And there's so many times that we find in the Bible about pride, but also right here in the book of Proverbs. In chapter 8, I just gave you this verse a moment ago. In chapter 8 and in verse 13, he says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate." So there's things that God hates. He hates pride and arrogancy. We see again, as we would move through this book, I've just picked out a few, but in chapter 15 and in verse 25, the Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but He will establish the border of the widow. See it again in chapter 16 in verse 5. He said, "Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord, though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished." In other words, he will be punished. This is an abomination. Now, verse 18 and 19 in this same chapter, I will read these. If you're taking notes, Psalms 101, verse 5, Psalms 119, verse 22, we find that in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49 through 50, pride is the first sin that is mentioned with the downfall of Sodom. You know, many times we have a different ideal as what happened with Sodom. But the Lord says, and by the way, He's dealing with Jerusalem's sins, and He compares Jerusalem at this time before the captivity, He compares Jerusalem with Sodom, refers to her as her sister. And He says in verse 49 and 50, "Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom." He doesn't begin with immorality. He begins with pride. Pride. Don't we see a lot of that in our country? Even the more wicked we get, we're so proud of being number one in the world. We're number one in immorality and sin too. Well, we're so proud of the technology and the military and the wealth and whatever in this nation. Well, the first sin with Sodom was not immorality. It was pride. The second thing that's mentioned here is fullness of bread. And the third is the abundance of idleness. And then He says, "Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy." And then in verse 50, "And they were haughty before me, therefore I took them," let me back up, "and they were haughty and committed abomination before me, therefore I took them away as I saw good." So when you look at that list of sins, it begins with the subject of pride. Pride is the sin of Satan, Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 16. Pride was the sin of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 4, verse 28 through 37. He walked through his palace looking at his kingdom, and he began saying, "Look what have I done. I have done this." We hear people say that today. And he's talking about what he had done. Well, God put him out to pasture for about 7 years. And then he decided that it wasn't about him, it was about God. And here's what he said in verse 37, the end of that chapter. He said, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar," this is his own testimony. He said, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Kings, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride is able to abase." He was abased. And this is his own testimony. He said, from now on, I'm going to praise the God of heaven. He didn't pull attention to himself anymore. And we find here in Proverbs chapter 16, verses 18 and 19, notice these verses. And he said, "Pride goeth before destruction." That was Nebuchadnezzar, Herod, and others. And he said, "And a haughty spirit before a fall," Sodom, Jerusalem. He said in verse 19, "Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud." One other passage, turn with me to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Let me read just a few verses here. This is why we're told to be poor in spirit in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3. humble ourselves. This is why the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 11 and verse 29, He said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. He said, study me and learn of me. Well, notice as we come here to 1 John chapter 2, and verse 16 is a verse I want, but I want to read from verse 15 through 17. He says here, and he just got through mentioning overcomers in verse 13 and overcomers in verse 14. And he says, love not the world, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in it, in the world rather. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Boy, do we believe that? He said in verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the pride of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Verse 17, and the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We find in verse 16 that the world is divided into three areas whereby we receive temptation. One is the lust of the flesh. The second one is the lust of the eyes. And I want to deal with the pride of life and just make a few comments on that. The pride of life is a part of the world system, one of the temptations, the areas of temptation. And it's called the pride of life here because it stains and affects every part of our life. And I want to read something to you. When we taught through the book of 1 John, I don't know how many years ago, can it be that many years ago? But when we taught through the book of 1 John, I camped out here for a little bit. And this thing about pride, quoting from some other authors, one author said, pride is the very image of the devil. Another one said, pride is the idolatrous worship of ourselves, and that is the national religion of hell. Another writer says, all pride is idolatry. But here's what I'm after. This quote here, and I use this most of the time when I deal with the subject of pride. And pride was seen in the scripture. It's the sin of many people, but it was especially the sin of the Pharisees. And this writer put it this way. He said, sensuality is corruption of the lower part of man's being that sinks him to the level of a beast. Now think about that, sensuality. He goes on to say, but pride is the corruption of the highest part of his nature, lifting up his understanding and spirit against God, and enters into fellowship with the devil. Now let me read one other quote. And that is, the Pharisees set themselves up as judges of others while themselves were outwardly clean but inwardly filthy. And the word hypocrite is used in the Bible. The writer says here, a hypocrite is not used of the scarlet sins of society who do not appear to be self-righteous. In other words, they're sinners, and without salvation and repentance, they'll end up in hell. But he says a hypocrite is not used of the scarlet sins of society who do not appear to be self-righteous. God looks with most disfavor on sins of the Spirit. Now, all sins are wrong, and without salvation, all will end up in hell. But this thing about pride is a horrible sin. Going back with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, in Proverbs chapter 6, I want to know what I can about these sins so that we can pray to avoid them. Verse 17, he said, a proud look, that's number one. The second one here that is mentioned is a lying tongue. Of course, we also got in verse 19, a false witness. But a lying tongue, One writer said there's more said in the Bible about the abuse of the tongue than the abuse of alcohol. All through the Scriptures, we see this several times in Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 12, verses 18 and 19, we see this. In Ephesians 4, verse 25, as Christians, we are not to lie, period, and we're surely not to lie to one another. We see this again in Romans 3, verse 10 and 11. We even find in Acts chapter 5 and verse 3, Ananias and Sapphira lying to the Holy Ghost. So those who cannot tell the truth, he's talking about a lying tongue, those who cannot tell the truth are of their father, the devil. And that is in John chapter 8 and in verse 44, one verse. Many of you are very familiar with it. He says, "You're of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." So all who spend their life lying and not telling the truth, their father is the devil, because they're lost. That's the characteristics of the lost world. And all liars, by the way, shall end up, that they're not only children of the devil, John 8, 44, but all liars shall end up in a devil's hell, Revelation 21 and in verse 8. Liars will be cast in to the lake of fire. Notice the next thing on our list here. In verse 17, the third thing is hands that shed innocent blood. Again, there's a message in every one of these. This has the ideal to murder. To murder also, we just read in John 8, 44, is to be a follower of Satan, for he was a murderer from the beginning. That's where it all started at. And then as we come through the Scriptures, Cain was a murderer. We're told that in the Old Testament, Genesis 4, and also in the New Testament. We find that in Genesis 9, life is precious. The Lord speaks of this to Noah when he made a covenant with him. Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 22, hatred in the heart is a form of murder. It's a form of murder. There's a multitude of other verses that we could look at. Murder is in the heart of the unredeemed in Matthew chapter 15 and in verse 19. Abortion is murder. Wars, murder. A lot of crime in our country and around the world. A lot of murder in this world. The righteous man, the Bible even says in Proverbs 12:10, the righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. A righteous man won't even harm an animal. That is to punish it. He can take an animal's life or food or whatever, but to just see something die, a righteous man will never do that. That's not in his heart to even do that to one of God's creatures. He's surely not going to do it to another human being. Notice the fourth thing in verse 18. He says, "An heart that deviseth wicked imaginations." Heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. One of the greatest passages on this would be in Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. I mean, you could write down Jeremiah 17, verse 9 and 10. That speaks of the wickedness of the heart. Matthew 15, 19, again, I just gave it a moment ago. Jesus knew what was in the heart of man in John 2, verse 24 and 25. So this is a heart that devises wicked imaginations, is a heart that thinks of sinfulness, meditates of sinfulness, and then plans out evil things or actions. In other words, they incorporate that. No fear of God before their eyes, according to Psalms 36 and verse 1. When we preached Monday night, we had seven professions of faith. When we preached Monday night in the mission, I started here in Genesis. I actually started in Genesis 7. But in verses 5 of chapter 6, it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Verse 6, it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." Then he says in verse 7, "He destroyed all, but Noah," verse 8, "found grace in the eyes of the Lord." In verse 11, he said, "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence." Verse 12, "And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, and all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth." And then in verse 13 again, "Because of this violence and corruption, God destroyed the world in judgment with a flood." All right, notice the next thing that we come to in verse 18. Not only a heart that devises wicked imaginations, but we find here feet that be swift in running to mischief. Notice that. Come back with me to chapter 1. You see, the devil ran swiftly to Job to accuse him before God. Proverbs chapter 1. If you're taking notes, Isaiah chapter 59. In Isaiah chapter 59, verse 7 and 8 said, "Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they have not known, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace." And this chapter starts out with the fact that their iniquities had separated them between them and God. And hid God's face from them. In verse 3 says, "Your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity, and your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness." In Proverbs chapter 1, we find here in verse 16, in referring to the wicked and those who are up to mischief and sin and rebellion, he says, in this passage, says, "For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood." Sounds like some of our cities in America. Now come back with me. We've got two other things here. He says here in verse 19, this will be number 6. He says, "A false witness that speaketh lies." A false witness that speaketh lies. Exodus 20. And in verse 16, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." A false witness that beareth lies or speaketh lies. We find that in Psalms 27:12, David speaks of and praying to be delivered from those that bear false witness. In Matthew 26, verse 59, Christ, we find that the chief priests, the elders, the council sought out false witnesses to crucify the Lord Jesus Christ. False witnesses. Whether that would be in the church, in the home, in the state, or in court, especially in court, many times false witnesses come forth and lie to destroy another person's integrity and destroy their life. Well, notice the last thing on the list, and it is hands that shed innocent blood. Again, we've already seen this in verse 4. I came and read verse 17. The latter part of verse 19, "And he that soweth discord among brethren." I come to the wrong verse. I was looking back up for our other verse. Verse 14 closes with sowing discord. Verse 19 closes with "he that soweth discord among brethren." To sow discord among brethren. We could go through this book in chapter 13, 15, 16, 17, 20, 22, 28, and 29. We'll be coming to those passages and find this principle. In Galatians 5:20, this is a work of the flesh. Those that commit it shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Psalms 101 verse 5 speaks of this, those who slander someone else. And basically, he that soweth discord among brethren is anyone who would disrupt the peace in a family, between a husband and wife, between children and parents, in the church, between the brothers and sisters in the church, or anywhere. And they would do it through gossip and slander and whispering in private, things of that nature. That's usually the way it's done. And this is the climax of the sins that are an abomination. I preached an entire message on this text back in January of this year. It is usually done in secret, and those who listen are just about as guilty as those who sow the discord. God condemns this, and it is caused usually by selfish motives. People who did not get their way or wanting their way. And this is why in Psalms 133, he speaks of the brethren are to dwell together in unity. And he gives us two illustrations with the oil of anointing Aaron and the dew upon two different mountains that are mentioned there. He illustrates how wonderful that this is. So verse 16 through 19, these six things doeth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Let us take heed to that. Would you stand with me? Father, we thank Thee tonight again for the privilege of assembling together. Lord, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee for Your love, for the things You love and the things You hate. We thank Thee for warning that You've given to us of the people that we need to avoid and that we not be like those, these sins that are abominations. Father, we pray now for Thy blessings upon the remaining of our service, which in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.